now have, I believe, Ezekiel coming up.
I'm Ezekiel, and I've been here in Babylon for a number of years, been a prophet of God. But I think I'm a failure. These stiff-necked Israelites, they don't believe a thing that I prophesy. Their hope is gone. I don't know what to do to come across to them. I don't know how to instill confidence in them concerning their God. But my prophecy toward them has been primarily that of restoration to their land. And I can see the condition that they've been in here for all these years, that they would have very little hope. They've been separated from their brethren. And as I prophesy these various prophecies on behalf of God, the words that He's put in my mouth, the visions that He's given to me to deliver to the Israelites, God finally told me that my message wasn't being received. He says here that all the people are talking against me, or they're gossiping. They gather off in little groups here and there, and they say, this prophet, this Ezekiel, he's beside himself. And so he says, they come unto thee, and he says, they act like they're interested in me and the people of God. But he says, the words that you speak, they don't do them. They don't pay any attention. They're disobedient. And he says, their heart goes after covetousness. They're after pride, and they're after things that bring on pride and wealth, after selfish gain, thinking only of themselves. And then he says this of them. He says that for those Israelites, he says, you, Ezekiel, he says, you just sound like a ballad singer to them. He says, you're just putting on a show. You have a pleasant voice. You have a clever touch. But they don't believe what you say. But he gave me a word of encouragement in those words that I was delivering. Even though they heard my words, but they didn't do them, he says, when these things come to pass that you're telling them, he says, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. So those are encouraging words for me. And so I'll continue on, and I'll be faithful to my God. One of the instances, and he has a number of instances concerning this restoration, the fact that they are going to be brought back to their land, and they'll live in it forever, and their Messiah will be over them. But he says here that he's going to take us as Israelites from among the heathen, and he's going to gather us out of all countries, and he's going to bring us into our own land. Well, that's hard to believe now. I can understand how some of God's people find it hard to believe. But then after they're in the land, he says, I'll multiply them. And the whole house of Israel will be multiplied. And the cities are going to be inhabited again. And the wastes are going to be builded. And he says, then you'll remember your evil ways and your doings, that they weren't good. And he says, then you'll loathe yourself. You'll hate yourself for what you've done. And continuing, why, he says that I'm going to do this not for your sakes, but for my holy name's sake. I'm going to vindicate my name. And then, at that time, God told me to picture for the Israelites what their land's going to be like. He says that this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, a paradise. The waste cities and the desolate and the ruined cities, they're not fenced anymore. And then they're inhabited. And then all the heathen, you know, the heathen, they don't believe in God at all. He says, all the heathen around, they too will know after this occurs. They're going to know that I, the Lord, have built these ruined places. And I've planted those things that are desolate. So, that's an encouragement. But you know, those Israelites, God, He gave several different illustrations to show that they were going to be brought back. Perhaps one of these will register in their minds. One of these was a picture of a valley filled with dry bones. You've heard of that. It was a huge valley, and it was just filled with bones. I know because the Lord gave me a vision. He led me out there in vision. And we walked all around it. These bones were all dried. And He said they'd come to life again. But He asked me first, He says, do you think that they could come to life? Well, it's something that, it's a question that's really hard to answer. But if God says they will, I'm sure they will. And He said that they would come to life again. So I believe Him, but I surely don't know how it'll ever happen. But after that, He says that He's going to cause breath to enter into these bones eventually. But first, He says He's going to lay sinews, or He's going to put tendons upon these bones as they come together. And then finally He's going to cover these bones with flesh. And then they're going to live. But He describes how this is happening, and He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, as God told me, and as I prophesied, there was a noise or a rattling sound as these bones came together. And so the bones came together, and finally these tendons came upon them, and skin came over them. There was flesh on them. But you know, they still weren't alive because there was no breath in them yet. And so He said, oh, breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And so He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And so as these bones come together, He said, behold, my people, I will open your graves. This is really speaking of the return of the diaspora. And He's going to bring them from all the nations from which they have been scattered, all over the world. They're going to come out of their graves, and He's going to bring them into the land of Israel. And then He'll say, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And then I put my spirit in you. And then you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. So it's going to take something, a visible presence right before their eyes before they will really believe it. They're going to have to actually see it. Seeing is believing, as it were. Then following that, just as another indication that God was truly serious about this and the message that I was giving them would truly come to pass, he spoke about two sticks coming together. And one of these sticks represented the nation of Judah, and the other the nation of Israel that had been separated as they were taken out of that holy land. And so they were enjoined in this vision that two sticks were to put together so that they formed one stick in their hand. It says, and if your people should say to you, will you not show us what is the meaning of these sticks? The meaning is, behold, I am about to take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel who are associated with him. And then he's going to take the stick of Judah, and he's going to join the two together that they may be one stick in his hand. And then he says, and when the sticks on which you write are in their hand, in your hand before their very eyes, you say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm going to take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they are gone, and I'm going to gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And then he says, I'm going to make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And then they're no longer going to defile themselves with their idols as they have in the past, and their filthy practices and all their sins. He says, but I'm going to save them out of all their dwelling places. All their backslidings is what he's talking about. And that was frequent, we know. And then he says, and I'm going to cleanse them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. And then they're going to walk in my judgments, and they're going to observe my statutes, and they're going to do them. And they're going to live in the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, the land in which their fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall live on it forever. And then he says that they're going to live there with his servant David. Well, we know about David. Remember the sure mercies of David, what the promise is? It's virtually the same as that promise that was given to Abraham, that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. But this is going to occur forever. And he says, I'll multiply them and I'll place my sanctuary or my tabernacle in the midst of them forever. And we know that the tabernacle of David is to be rebuilt, isn't it? What a blessing that's going to be for my people. And not only my people, but for all the heathen round about, because they too are going to receive the blessings that I have for them in this new heavens and new earth, which are going to be established at that time. So now we will introduce Brother Michael Nakora, who is Israel. And so he's going to tell us all about this restitution the prophets spoke of.